There are two scripture readings. First, we will read Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And then we read God's word in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So far the first scripture reading, and the second scripture reading is Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, and we read the verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 39, the verses 1 through 6, and these verses are also the text for the sermon this morning. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and well favored. So far the reading of God's word, and also the words of our text. You remember that the Lord had promised Abraham that his seed would inherit the land of Canaan, that whole land from north to south and east to west. But you will also remember that in Genesis 15, the Lord had said that Abraham's children would live in a foreign land for 400 years, and that the Lord would then cause them to enter this land of Canaan. Well, we know that foreign land was going to be Egypt. And we also know that Joseph was going to prepare a place for them there in that foreign land. But Joseph did not know that. And Jacob did not know that when he stood there with the torn shreds of that beautiful robe stained in blood. And the brothers could never dream that this would ever happen, that Joseph was preparing a place for them in Egypt. But God's promise shall stand. His care and goodness upon his covenant people was going to be maintained. There in Egypt, they could grow up and become a nation under the care and the protection of Egypt. Egypt was at that time the most civilized and developed country. And it was all God's guidance in a wonderful plan. And also the fact that Israel had to be oppressed there in Egypt, because otherwise they would have never wanted to leave Goshen. It was a far too pleasant country to live in. And so the Lord was leading all things so that there would be a people in Canaan. and that there would be the people of Israel would live in Canaan, and that his promises would stand, and that the Lord Jesus would be born into this world. And that's ultimately why Joseph was brought into Egypt. And there he is, a young man, 17, maybe 18 years of age. And there he stands, put up on the slave market, put up for sale. And it happened to be that a certain Egyptian aristocrat had assessed the need for an additional slave in his household. So he went to the market, and there he saw this young slave, a good-looking young man, strong, seemed to have intelligent eyes. He seemed to be the perfect choice, and Potiphar negotiates a price. The deal is done, and Joseph was taken along to work in Potiphar's house. We meditate on Joseph in Potiphar's house, and we see in the first place his trial, the second place his prosperity, in the third place his secret. Joseph in Potiphar's house. In the first place, we see his trial. Secondly, his prosperity. And thirdly, his secret. So Joseph was now a slave in Potiphar's house. What a severe trial this was for Joseph. Worse than he had ever experienced in his life. He was far from his beloved father Jacob, far away from the altar in Hebron, alone in a strange land, in the midst of a people of a strange language. No longer did he have the freedom to do what he wanted to do. He was a slave. He had to work very hard and would receive no payment for it. He had to work, if needs be, day and night. He had to do exactly what his master told him to do. He was a slave. What a severe trial this was. And what self-denial was needed to accept this all. All that was dear and near to Joseph had been ripped away from him. And he had been torn away from all that was that he loved. Imagine how the boy must have felt homesick. How difficult it must have been for him to live in the midst of a people. He didn't even understand their language. And he used to have so much freedom in the fields around Hebron. What a deep distress this was for Joseph. There is nothing more desirable for a living human being than liberty, to have freedom. People were willing to give their life for freedom. Give me freedom, liberty, or give me death. This was a severe trial for Joseph. A deep distress. He had grief. That's what he had. How do we know that? Well, Scripture tells us so. Where then? In Genesis 49, verse 23, there we read, "The archers had sorely grieved Joseph and shot at him and hated him." And here Joseph experiences this, that he was very much in grief. And then in verse 2 we read that Joseph was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And it says this in a special way. He was in the house not of Potiphar, he was in the house of the Egyptian. His master the Egyptian. And that's to emphasize that he was now in the house of a heathen. And that makes the trial worse. It's severe. He was in this Egyptian's house where they had pagan religion, heathen worship, heathen customs. And that must have hurt him most of all. In the midst of all that idolatry, he himself served and worshipped the true and only God. He did not want to sin against the Lord his God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Well, how did Joseph fare under these trials? Again, We look at Psalm 105, verse 19. The word of the Lord tried him. That was also applicable for Joseph here as he was in Potiphar's house. The word of the Lord accompanied Joseph. That tried him. It purified him. In these difficult circumstances, he was able to hold on to the word of God. And through the word of God, impossibilities became possible. Oh, it's impossible for me to live here, to work here. But it became possible for him through the word of God. Joseph was kept from despair. And when his grief became severe, he would sigh to the God of heaven. His strength would be renewed through the word of God that was with him, the revelations he had, and the little that he knew of the Lord God according to those revelations of the Old Testament. That word purified him, tried him, strengthened him. And when he doubted the promises of God for him and his soul refused to be comforted in the misery in which he was, then God's word tried him. He learned to be silent before God, although he didn't understand many things that were happening to him. And when Joseph heard a voice within him telling him that the Lord had forsaken him and the Lord had forgotten him, then it was the Holy Ghost who showed him to look to the Lord. And Joseph must have said, But the Lord will send salvation. And in that way God allows His people to mount up as on eagle's wings, and that their strength is renewed. The devil and the world cannot conquer them. For he who is with his people is stronger than those who are with the world or with the enemies. And that was the case with Joseph. That's what Scripture says. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. He's a slave. It's a trial. It's difficult. He was sorely grieved. But in the midst of all these afflictions, the Lord was with Joseph. And that can only be explained through Christ. How can God be with a human being? That can only be through Christ. Because all have sinned. All have forfeited the way of God's grace and mercy. It's only through Christ that a person is blessed. It's because of the Lord Jesus. The Lord had united Joseph to himself. He was hid in Christ. And that's why Joseph found favor in the sight of the Lord. God the Father had given Joseph to his son. And the Holy Ghost had led also Joseph to see the goodness of the Lord, even though everything seemed to go against him. Joseph was safe in the surety Christ. Joseph was strengthened through the surety Christ, because God can only have dealings with a human being through Christ. And then the Spirit will also send such ones who are in Christ comfort. The Spirit will send the tender comfort of His presence, especially in trials and in afflictions. It's the Holy Spirit who can whisper into your heart and soul, He is yet your Lord, your God. And that was how Joseph was enabled to be faithful in the task God gave him. He was not a prisoner of Potiphar. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He knew, this is God's guidance in my life. And then there will be still tears. And then you can still weep because of afflictions. And there can still be sleepless nights because of a cross that gives you sorrow. And it weighs upon you and it can hurt. But then it's also true, the Lord gives renewed strength. He enables you. He invigorates you. There are hardships in the lives of God's children. But when the Lord teaches self-denial, and you submit to God's ways, then you can still see blessings the Lord gives you. Blessings you hadn't even noticed before. Calvin comments here in this setting that we should not be ungrateful when the Lord gives sweetness in the midst of afflictions. And Calvin says, often the Lord mixes trials with pieces of sweetness. And then he warns us not to be ungrateful for the sweetnesses the Lord still gives. You know, also Joseph was still blessed. Although he wasn't a slave, but yet it could have been far worse for him. The fact is that he could have been sold as a slave to work out on the field somewhere, which would be much harder on him. It was better for Joseph to work in the house of a high-placed Egyptian. And so in the midst of his calamities, the Lord was still guiding Joseph. Although it must have seemed terrible to him what was happening. And indeed, the Lord can lead his people alongside deep ravines. It can appear at times that God's cause hangs on a thread in your life. And Joseph can be a slave in Potiphar's house, in a heathen environment. And a baby Moses can be laid in an ark of bulrushes, a box of reeds in the river Nile. And David can be hiding in the cave of Adullam. And Paul can be in the lowest dungeon with his feet in the blocks. But the Almighty will never miss his aim. And you can have sleepless nights and pain in your heart, but God's purposes shall always stand. His counsel shall be fulfilled. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The Lord could have easily restored Joseph at once to his father's bosom, but he did not do it. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. That means God's ways are full of grace, full of salvation, a far more blessed, a far more beautiful than our puny ways. And that's why God left Joseph in slavery for many years. But it would all work out so very well. So easily we can judge the ways of God as being wrong. But we forget that the Lord says, I am faithful. We can be so foolish that we think that we have to tell the Lord how our life must be directed. And we think that we have to show wisdom to the Father of lights. But God makes no mistakes. He knows exactly what He is doing. And there is no shadow of turning in Him. And that's to the well-being of His people. Also in their days of affliction, and in His wisdom, God led Joseph along this difficult path. If Joseph at this time would have been raised up into dignity, where would be his wisdom and his meekness and his patience? It was through suffering and through trials that the Word of God purified him and prepared him for the great task the Lord had in store for him. The Lord leads His people and undertakes for them. He is with them. Although the outward circumstances can be so difficult. They can be despised by men, but are accepted by God. The Lord can even make them honorable in the eyes of those who formerly despised them. And so all these events should teach us to resign ourselves to God's providential guidance in life. A child of God should trust in the Lord even when all things seem to be against him, because all their affairs, they lie in the hands of Him who has said that all things must work together for good for those who love Him. And that can only be true and a reality when you are in Christ Jesus. That He who purchased you, He is the one who is in full control of all things. And when you are in Christ Jesus, He shall lead your life also along dark ways, but He will lead you. He will hold on to you. It's so blessed to trust in the Lord. It's so blessed to yield, to give to the Lord your heart promptly, sincerely, like Calvin said. I was this week in Alberta, and there at the Calvin School there in Monarch, Alberta, they had a big emblem on the wall. It's called the John Calvin School, and there they had a big emblem of a hand with a red heart in it, and around there the words, very large on a big wall, "My heart I give unto thee willingly and promptly." That was the words that Calvin so often spoke, that he lived by. But beautiful to tell that, to show that to children. And it's necessary for us, for you boys and girls, that your heart, you would lay that before the Lord and say, "Lord, take my heart, take my life, teach me and be my ruler, my Lord." Then God will bless you and lead you and take control of you, even in days of trials that you will go through, even in days of darkness and hardships that you will go through. He will undertake for you. And He will know how to help you in days of trouble. He will be an amazing God for you. He is good. It is so good to know God, as your Lord, to listen to Him, that He directs you, instructs you. The most blessed gift that can ever happen to you in life. And it's necessary. It's essential. It's the only way for salvation. And He will look after all His people. He will uphold them in the days of prosperity, that they would not perish by the sunstroke of prosperity. But He will also hold on to them in the days of great turmoil and darkness, that they would not perish under the frozen cold air of adversities. He upholds His people in good times and in difficult times. We need Him to guide us, to protect us. We need the Lord to deliver us from our hardships. And what are our hardships? Well, there's one hardship we all have, and that's our sin. That's the most terrible thing in your and my life, my sin. Has that become for you the greatest burden? Has that become for you the greatest turmoil? Has that become the greatest need? That must be the case. Otherwise, it's not right. How shall I stand before God righteous? I need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have a sin-sick soul. I must be healed. I must be cleansed. I need a new heart. You see, when that reality dawns upon you, then a cry is laid in your heart for the Lord Jesus, and to be filled with the Spirit, to be led into a new life. You need His Spirit to take control of you. And when the evil one will assault you, that you will be kept. You say, "Lord, hold on to me. Grant me grace and patience, even when I am led into barren lands that I thought I would never enter in. But Lord, if Thou dost go with me, then it is well. If this is the way I must go and Thou art with me, then I shall do it. Because I know if Thou art with me, then Thou shalt make all things well. Thou shalt lead me even through the valley of the shadow of death." Blessed Savior, faithful Savior, powerful Savior, with Thee I am safe, even as a slave, alone, a stranger in Potiphar's house. And that brings us to see Joseph's prosperity. Because although it must have been very puzzling for Joseph, all that was happening to him, the Lord was with him. And it says further, and he was a prosperous man. And in verse 3, Potiphar, his master, saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. And these are very significant matters. The Lord was with Joseph so that he was blessed. He prospered well. You know, we often reason the other way around, don't we? We say when we are blessed, that shows that God is with us. But that doesn't have to be the case at all. The Lord can also cause the wicked to prosper. Calvin says the Lord blesses the wicked. Many wicked people are blessed by God. And why does God do that? That's a calling to repentance for them. That they would see the goodness of the Lord and would realize, I don't deserve this all, and that they would turn to the Lord. And all the goodness God gives to them and the blessings of daily life, they are also a means to remove every accusation against God. That they will have no excuse when they stand before God and are condemned forever. Because they will acknowledge, I was bad, but the Lord was also good to me. And so God silences them. Because God blessed them in spite of their wickedness. Yes, the Lord can bless the wicked. But the Lord also has a pleasure. I should say the Lord has a pleasure to bless His people. And you know, we need God's blessing. That's also a deep thought. We need all to be blessed in our daily life. Our food needs to be blessed. When we pray a blessing, ask a blessing upon our food, it's not just because, yeah, we have to do that. It's not just a custom. It's also not that we say, well, it's not really needed because the food is good in itself, so it will do its work. No, that's wrong. When you ask a blessing, you thereby confess to the Lord that even the best food or the best medicine or the best treatments will do absolutely nothing unless Thou dost bless it. Maybe you've had it for an exam, that you studied well, that you knew all the material, and yet it didn't go. It's possible. I've had it. There'll be more he who had it. You see, God has to bless you. And maybe at times you thought I would fail, it would never go. I don't know half of what I have to do, and it went well. God must bless it. Also, our daily food, it won't do us any good unless God blesses the food. Our lives, we will not prosper in anything unless God blesses us. God must bless the whole universe. That means strengthen the whole universe. Well, that's dead matter, the universe. There's no life in it. But the Lord must sustain it. Otherwise it implodes. And this world and your and my life will disintegrate. Unless God continually upholds it and blesses it. We need to be blessed in all we do. And God does that. And that's what Joseph experienced there. God was with Joseph. And someone else notices that too. That's Potiphar. It says there very beautifully there in verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him. So it doesn't say his master saw that Joseph was doing his best or that Joseph was doing a good job. No, his master saw the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord made all things he did to prosper in his hand. Emphasis is upon the Lord. And that's an amazing fact. This Egyptian realized the God of this boy is blessing him. And that's therefore amazing because the nations always thought the activity of a god is restricted to the location of that people. So the Egyptians had their gods. The Canaanites had their gods. But a god would have no power outside of the geographical region of that country. But here, to Potiphar's amazement, he realizes the God of this boy is blessing him here in this heathen environment. And there was something in the demeanor of Joseph that portrayed dignity, reverence to the Lord. His attitude was pleasant. The way he dealt with people was blessed. His diligence, there was something beautiful about that. And Joseph also must have spoken about the God of heaven and earth. He did that later on to Potiphar's wife and said, "I'm not going to sin against God." So he would have spoken about the Lord. He would have spoken to Potiphar about the authority of the only God of the Hebrews, the God of his fathers. But whatever Joseph said, above all, deeply, Potiphar was deeply impressed by the deeds of Joseph. And so this man Potiphar was surely blessed. How many people had been blessed because they had godly people working for them? It's a blessing if you can employ godly people who you can trust, who are dedicated. It used to be in Holland that certain employers wanted to have dedicated Christians working for them. And often people from the conservative reformed circles were known for their meekness, their diligence. Although their employers themselves were not maybe that religious, they liked those people. They were trustworthy. And Potiphar never had a slave like Joseph. God's people are a blessing for their environment. When Paul is on the ship with 276 people, they're all saved through the intercession of Paul. And Darius was fond of Daniel as his chief administrator of his empire. And here Potiphar is blessed because of Joseph. Now, what does your employer think of you? Do you think they are blessed because of you? What attitude do you portray? Is that one of kindness? Is that one of diligence? Is that one of meekness? What do people think of you and me? Are we a blessing in our home, a blessing in our family? Or are we always complaining? Complaining about the food and complaining about a cup or complaining about a piece of bread. How is it in our families? Are we easily complaining? Are we a bother to have in the house? Do others have to put up with us? Or are we a blessing for those around us? A joy to be around. A delight. You know, that's also part of Christian life. To make sure that you're not a bother for people around you, but that you're a pleasure to have around. That's part of Christian life, to be meek and diligent and kind and thoughtful for your children and for your parents and for your siblings. Are you a bother in your house, or are you a pleasure to have around? Well, Joseph was a pleasure to have in his house. Potiphar was blessed because of him. In verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And Potiphar became fond of Joseph and made him his personal assistant. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. Joseph was promoted. He became an overseer over his house. And over everything Potiphar had, that means Joseph became the chief administrator of the house, of the lands, of the fields. The planting and the harvesting were all organized, managed by Joseph. What Joseph said was done. He became the second in command in the whole house. He administered the income flow. He looked after the payments. He looked after everything. He ordered the pantry to be filled. He decided what needed to be purchased, what needed to be investment, what needed to be invested, and so on. You know, it was a custom of Egyptians, the rich owners, they would have a personal steward who would oversee all the work. In ancient Egyptian tombs, you can still see inscriptions, illustrations of a steward who takes account, makes a registry of the harvest before it's deposited in the storehouse. Well, and later on, Joseph himself would have a steward working for him. Genesis 43, verse 16. And now Potiphar has Joseph as his steward. Imagine how intelligent Joseph must have been. He had to, after all, learn the Egyptian language. The brothers didn't understand him when he spoke. He spoke in Egyptian. And he had to learn to read and write. He had to learn math. He had to be trained in Egyptian culture and management. He did it all. He caught on very quickly, because the Lord was with him. And through this all, the Lord was preparing him for the task that awaited him, so that God's people would be preserved and that the Lord Jesus would be born. Joseph was a blessing in all he did. Potiphar was very impressed. Verses 5 and 6, and it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught anything he had, save the bread which he did eat. That is noteworthy. Save the bread which he did eat. This doesn't mean that Joseph did everything except feeding his master. No, that's not what it means. Everyone would eat by himself. What does it mean that he did everything except the bread? That means the food. Except the food he ate. That's very significant. Because the Egyptians were very particular regarding the food they ate. The Egyptians had special dietary constraints, and they would never eat food prepared by a stranger. There are ancient Greek historians who have written that Egyptians would not eat any meat that was cut with a knife of a Greek man. They would not eat food cooked by a stranger. So Potiphar allowed Joseph to do everything except the preparation of his own daily food, because Potiphar knew that Joseph feared another god. And so Joseph was a goodly man, was well favored. He was a witness in that house by his deeds and also by his words. He was a handsome young man, goodly, well favored, and he prospered in all things. And what was now the secret then of Joseph? What was his secret? Why did God bless him so abundantly? Well, that can be God's sovereign will. Sometimes it pleases the Lord to bless the one and not the other. It can be God's providential guidance, leading. That's all true. That can be the case. But there's more to it. Why did the Lord bless Joseph? Did Joseph deserve it? No. Was he worthy? No. Joseph was also a sinner. Joseph also needed grace. Joseph was blessed by God's free grace. And God promises to be gracious and merciful to those who fear him. That was his secret. In his grace, God promises to bless those who fear his name. And that's a deep word, very important word. That was the secret of Joseph. He feared the Lord. And that's why he was blessed. Although he went through trials, and although he was sorely grieved, and although he was a slave, he was yet greatly blessed because he feared the Lord. And that's biblical. That's why we read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that a beautiful word? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We can see that in Joseph. But you can see it in David. You can see it in Paul. Now, did David have an easy life? Did Paul have an easy life? You know, we can go on and give more examples. But the reality is that the Lord blesses His people. Think of what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Joseph portrayed this godliness with contentment. That means even in the difficulties, Joseph was content. He submitted himself to the Lord. He feared the Lord. The Spirit of God lived in Joseph. The Spirit of Christ spoke through Joseph. It was not Joseph's ability and Joseph's strength that led him through. It was all the grace of God's Spirit teaching Joseph to be faithful in these circumstances. Christ lived in Joseph. And for Christ's sake, Joseph was blessed. Joseph was faithful in the house of his master. And through Joseph, we see the image of Christ. Because Hebrews 3 verse 6 speaks of Christ, who was also faithful as the son over his own house. He was faithful over his own house. Faithful in all he had to do. And Hebrews 3 verse 6 says, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Christ is faithful in all His house, His people. Do you belong to the house of Christ? Is that your greatest desire, to belong to Him forevermore? For you may know that Christ is faithful over His house, just as Joseph, as an illustration of Christ, was also faithful in His house. He is faithful, child of God. God is faithful. Never forget that. But the Spirit of Christ shone through Joseph in the fact that Joseph was meek and humble in all his work. Just as Christ, in Hebrews 5 verse 8, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Well, Joseph also suffered, and he learned obedience and meekness. And that's why God blessed him for Christ's sake. And Joseph persevered in godliness, and the Lord Jesus persevered in godliness, even in temptations, even on the cross. My God, my God. He persevered, and that grace rested also upon Joseph. And for the sake of Christ, Joseph was blessed. The secret of Joseph was the fear of the Lord was in him. Christ was in him. Joseph was a man, just like you and I are. He wasn't some superman. Isn't that beautiful that the Bible never portrays God's people as being great people high up there? Then we would just look at them and adore them and then sink back to our daily reality, our desolate, dismal condition. We can never be like those saints of Scripture. But that's exactly what Scripture shows us that was not the case, because they were people just like you and I are. Elijah was a man just like you and I, Scripture says. And how the sins of God's people are recorded in stark colors. And Joseph, he was a man. He cried, he wept aloud. Don't do this to me. Don't send me away. Don't do this. He wept. And later on, his brothers, 20 years after, still remember, and it comes up to them. when they stand in that Egyptian court, not realizing what's happening. This is all because of our sin, what we did. We heard him crying. Joseph was afraid. He endured hardship. He was a man like you and I are weak. He had to fight off attacks of doubt and temptation. He needed strength. He needed refreshing grace. He needed water like a tree needs water. A tree without water will all wither. Well, Joseph needed water, and he was planted alongside rivers of water. And that river of God never runs dry. It's always there. Every day. Every morning the Lord was there again. He is faithful. That's why his child carries on. So much to do. So many things on the mind. Much pain or suffering or disappointments. But you see, that river never runs dry. And although the scorching desert winds blow over that tree and other plants are bare and barren and they wither, that tree stands there. It brings forth fruit. And you know why? Because it's planted alongside that river. The river of God is full of water. That's the secret of a child of God. This poor man cried, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. He needed grace and insight. He needed strength and wisdom every day again. He could do nothing without the Lord. Joseph was a righteous man. He had been washed in the blood of Christ, had been renewed by the Spirit of God. He shunned the scorner's seat. He fled from sin and temptation. Joseph was a goodly man, a positive man. He delighted himself in the Lord. He took pleasure in meditating upon God's word day and night. Although he did not understand all events, his life's prayer was, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Like Psalm 37 verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now how is it with you and me? Does the fear of the Lord live in our lives? Do we meditate upon God's word? Not just reading it, but meditating it. Chew upon it. What are you most concerned about in your life? Is it your own honor or is it God's honor? Do we live in that attitude, "Teach me to do thy will"? Blessed when you fear God, then the Lord will bless you richly. And you will be that tree planted alongside the banks of fresh water. And you will give fruit. God will grow them in your life. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in His salvation. And He becomes first, foremost. His honor, His salvation, His future, His image in my life. That is the thing in my life. And then the other things come way underneath that. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will grant you your requests. But if your heart is closed to Him, if it's just a formal religion, outward, if you actually are despising Him, having no time for Him, you can't really be bothered for Him, you have so many things to do, and you're not really serious about prayer, not really serious about opening your heart, just paying off God with some little remnants of your time and of your life. And the big thing for you is to get ahead or to prosperity. And you yourself, well, in that case, know that you are not like that tree, but that you are living a selfish life, and that you are your own worst enemy. You're a stranger to God, and that's why you are not blessed. What you need to do is to turn to Him and ask God for His grace in your life. Seek first God and His salvation, and He will provide for you, even in your most trying days. Amen.